In this study, I've challenged those that have been here to take consideration between the hymn and Gethsemane, between the hymn there as the Lord leads his disciples out of that upper room where they partook of the Passover, where he instituted the Lord's Supper. And here in the book of John, it really reveals, the most of what happens there. And we want to take a look at this, felt led of the Lord to take a look at this passage here in John chapter 14. If you'll take a look at verse number 6, this is some of that the Lord is fellowshipping with his church, is teaching his church between the hymn and Gethsemane, okay? This happens before they go out of that upper room. And understand that he is dealing with them, at least the apostles, maybe the church gathered there, but at least the apostles. We know that that's the case. If he speaks to them from his word, listen, you and I that are saved, that he is saved and put in his local New Testament Baptist Church, Olmsted Baptist Church, he's speaking to you and me. He's speaking to you and me out of his word. And we need, as he tells us here, we need to hear him. And John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, very familiar passage to you, I trust, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Father, help us now as we worship you, as we look into your word, as we desire, Father, for you to speak unto us and the message that you have for us. Lord, take me out of the way. And Lord, pray that we just might see together Jesus Christ high and lifted up. Lord, help me to speak and speak through me the words that you want uttered this morning. Lord, that we might see your truth. We might be blessed of you in it. We might rejoice in it and worship and praise your name in it, Father. We pray that you'd help in it. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved. Lord, visit them. Touch them. Lord, help them to see their need. Work in them as you only can. Open their eyes, open their ears, that they might see and hear, Father. And Lord, grant them repentance and faith. Lord, that they might obey you and come to you in repentance and faith as you command. Help us now, we pray, and bless us, Father. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Here in John chapter 14, the Lord speaking to his children, his people, and many things that has happened here in chapter 13, some things that the Lord has taught after the Passover, after the supper and the Lord's Supper, it seems, being ended. Judas has gone out to go and pursue his betrayal of the Lord. Satan has entered into him, has possessed him to do so. And there seems to be in chapter 13, after in verse number 31 of John chapter 13, therefore when he was gone out, Judas had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. We've taken a look in our study about some of those things. And here the Lord, he deals with his people, and he says in verse number 1, John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You know why the Lord tells us that? You know why it is that the Lord tells us don't be troubled? Because we're subject to be troubled. We're subject to be troubled. The Lord doesn't minister to us. He doesn't speak to us in any way that we don't need. He speaks to us in a way that we do need. Let not your heart be troubled, because I know it will be. You know, we're living in perilous times today, and we've all of us, and being in church, and you that have been members of this church for decades, for years, you've heard that. The Lord, the return of the Lord is imminent. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ, it could come at any moment. It could come at any time. We've heard that all of our lives, and it has been true. He hasn't come yet, but he could come right now. We may not even get out of this service. We live in a wicked day, and it's getting more and more and more wicked. More and more and more the world is departing from the truth, from the faith, from the way of the Lord. Our government, which was founded on biblical principles, is going away from God, has gone away, and is going further and further and further away. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in me. He said, you can trust me. You can trust me. You believe in God, believe also in me. You can, just like you believe in God, disciples, just like you believe in God, apostles, just like you believe in the Father, and just like you believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you can believe in me that same way. and he's going to tell them why. In my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus is facing a cruel death on the cross. He is facing betrayal from within his own group, from within his church, from one of his apostles. He is going to be beaten. He is going to be spit upon. He is going to be smacked. He's going to be slapped around. He's going to be drug around in the streets of Jerusalem. And he says, church, don't be troubled. You know, he knows what's going to happen. You and I, we go through life and we think we know some things, but we don't know what's next. The Lord knew what was next. And yet, he's tending to his people, isn't he? He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't tell you. I am going to go and prepare a place for you, a place. A place for you, a place for my children. I can't help think about that scripture that we take a look there at the last scripture in the book of Daniel. And the Lord has revealed these things unto Daniel. He's answered his prayer. He sent the angel to him to show him all these things of prophecy concerning the Gentile world and the Jews. But the Gentile world, as Brother Philip so aptly brought out during our revival. And he says, but Daniel, go on in your days. And then you're going to go on and the indication is sleep with your fathers, sleep with the fathers, but in that last day, you're going to stand in your lot. The Lord says, I go to prepare a place for you, a place for you to stand in that day. My children, my disciples, my apostles, those that I've saved, those of you here in my church, I go to prepare a place for you. It says in 1 Corinthians, we've read it, eyes have not seen and ear hadn't heard, and it can't even come into our heart, those things that God has prepared for those that love him. We can't comprehend it. We can't try to imagine it and try to expand upon our greatest expectation. It's beyond that. The Lord, this is God. Talk some busy executive or some CEO of a company. You know, he might give you 1 minute of his time to the likes of me, and then he's going to move on to the next guy. The Lord takes his time. He's the greatest that ever has lived, and he's got time for his children. And he deals with us not in a group basis, but individually. Isn't that great? The one is the greatest. He says, I go and prepare this place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, verse 3, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm going to prepare this place, and I'm not going to put this effort into it. I'm not going to put this work into it. I'm not going to put my time into it. And would the Lord say his money? I'm not going to put anything into it if I'm not coming back for you. If I go to do it, I'm coming back to get you. And what is it there? He makes this place. He prepares this place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Being there with Jesus. Oh, it's in the last few years of the Lord has spoken to me out of his word how it's not so much the mansion, although it'll be there. It's not so much the city of gold, but it'll be there. It's not so much the street of gold and all the spectacle and that thing that we told you and spoke about some time ago about the New Jerusalem. And as big as the New Jerusalem is, if she had 83 stories with seven mile ceiling height in each one of them, could have the surface area of the earth in that city, it's going to be there. And it's going to be beyond what any of us could even think of. But it's not going to be so much about the place, the stuff, the hardware. What's he say? That where I am, there ye may be also. That place with Jesus. Oh, how good it is. If it doesn't thrill your soul, I tell you, I worry about you. I'm concerned about you if it doesn't thrill your soul to be there with Jesus, the greatest one that ever was, God the Son that gave himself for the likes of me. Oh, I wonder and I marvel at it. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I guarantee told you I'm coming again to receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, being with Jesus. Verse 4, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Listen, these are the pack of fellows that the Lord's been saying, I'm going to go into Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be delivered into the hands of wicked sinners, and I'm going to be killed. And they say, what's he saying? What's he talking about? What is it? What is it? Peter challenged him about such a thing, didn't he? And he says, get thee behind me, Satan, to Peter. You don't savor the things that are of God with that attitude, Peter. But I've come to fulfill. I've come to do this thing, and I am going to do it. He says, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. I say, way? What way? Listen to what he says, verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? This is the key. This is the key. We know this verse, but this, looking into the context of it, about why Jesus says what he says in verse number 6, he says, I'm going, and you know the way. I'm going, and you know the way. And the brother says, and Philip saith unto him, and Thomas saith unto him, you got Thomas and Philip here. Brother Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way if we don't know the place? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. The great I am. See that there? I am. What was it that the Lord told Moses? Who do I say has sent me? Tell him that I am has sent thee. I am. He is the I am. The Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. It's Jesus. Amen. Jesus. He says, if you've got me, you've got it. If you've got me, if I have you, you know the way. See, it's not in getting out a map. It's not in making a reservation, dialing up and making a reservation. It's not about buying a plane ticket or a train ticket or a bus ticket or buying you a new car for the trip. It's about having Jesus. Amen. About having Jesus as the Savior of your soul. We don't know the way, Lord. How can we know the way? The Lord says, I am the way. It says in Proverbs that there's a way that seems right unto man, but that way is the way of destruction. If the way that you're trusting in, if the way that you're pursuing, if that way that you're holding on to is anything but the Lord, you've got a way with a dead end. Right. Here? You've got a way with the dead end. But if you have Jesus, you'll have Jesus. What did he say up in verse number 3? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He said, I'll do the bringing. I'll bring you Brother Garner. I've known Brother Garner all my life. And as far as preachers go, I was talking to Clarissa, as far as preachers and me being around him during the course of his ministry and hearing him preach and getting to visit with him and that, he is probably the preacher that I've been around the most in my life, for the span of my life, if you will. And thinking about him dying, it's just hard to believe. He's a man. He's a man. I don't seek to exalt him. I thank the Lord and praise the Lord for the witness and testimony that he had, his faithfulness to the Lord and the Lord's calling and service upon him. But he's seen the Lord. You know, I'm about halfway jealous of him. He's seen the Lord. He is there. He's seeing. He may not see the mansion yet, but he's seen the preparation. He's got a place there that the Lord's made for him, and he's standing in it by his testimony of having the Lord as his Savior. He's there. He's there. He's standing. He's seeing Jesus, you know, and he's not dizzy anymore. He'd been dealing with dizziness the last month or so. He's not dizzy anymore. And he's there with his Lord and his Savior. He's seen his face. And he is indeed rejoicing. He is indeed rejoicing. You know, but that way that we put together, other than Jesus Christ, that Brother Garner gave a testimony that it's because of Jesus that he had life. It's because of Jesus that he had a calling to serve his Lord, not some occupational decision that he made one day. It's because of Jesus that he placed him there at Faith Baptist Church and used him in that church for all these years over at Clarksville and the other churches that he passed. It's because of his Lord and Savior. He's seen that preparation that Jesus has been making for his saints. He's there now. He is there now. If you got that way that seems right to you, listen, it won't work. The Lord says in Isaiah chapter 45, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." It's only to the Lord Jesus Christ that we look. There's only hope. There's only solid salvation in Jesus Christ. Everything else is false. And he is the Lord's way. He is the Lord's way. Look over here in chapter 10 as the Lord is talking in John chapter 10. As the Lord is speaking to his disciples here about the sheepfold and the sheep and the porter and the shepherd. Listen to what he says about himself in verse number 9. John 10 verse number 9. He says, "I am the door. I'm the door. I am the way in and out of the sheepfold. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. By him, if any enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and shall go out and find pasture." Said, coming up under the sheepfold by the back door, coming up over by the fence in the back or prying boards off the side and trying to get in, he said, it won't work. So the porter will run you off. Trying to come in there as a wolf with a sheep's clothing on, said, won't work. I'll expose you. Trying to come in any other way than by the door. There's no other way. And Jesus is that door. He is that way. He is the Savior. Look over here in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse number 3. Here in this same teaching that the Lord is doing to his disciples, between the hymn and Gethsemane. In John 17, the Lord prays for his disciples and for us. And he says in verse number 3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God." That's living, is knowing God and God knowing you. Knowing God and God knowing you intimately. And you and your sin and Jesus Christ, that track that we've got back there. "That know thee, the only true God." This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. He's speaking about himself. "Whom thou hast sent," there's eternal life. Not in the waters of baptism, not in taking the Lord's Supper, not in being in the church for 50 years. But Jesus. Amen. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He is the one. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Back in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." This is his answer to Thomas. Thomas says, "Lord, We know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? He says, I am the way, Thomas. I am the truth. I am the life. You can't get to the Father but by me. Look over in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. Wherefore he, that is Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost. It's not a halfway, half-cocked salvation that the Lord gives us. It's a salvation of the soul, isn't it? And he has, there's that rest in the salvation of the soul that Hebrews speaks to us about and tells us about. That is salvation. That's the starting point. Then there's the salvation of the life. From the time that the Lord has saved you, how are you going to use this body? How are we going to use this body for the Lord in this life? You know, obeying Him, there's rest in that. There's peace in that. There's saving in that. There's a saving from the effects, from the law of sowing and reaping if we'll just obey the Lord. And there's a rest in that. And then there's that eternal rest with Him. He says, if I go to prepare a place for you with me, I'm coming back to get you. Guaranteed. He says here in verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God. How? By him, by the door, by the way, by the truth, by the life. Jesus, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's up there now saying, Father, forgive Jim. He's mine. Father, forgive Jim. Father, help Jim. Father, answer that prayer. Father, don't answer that prayer that way. Answer it this way. Father, hold up on that one. Father, he needs that one. You see that? That's what the Lord's doing. He's interceding. He's interceding. And when the Lord, when the Father looks on at me, and when the Father looks on at you that he saved, and we make our petition before him, the Lord is there interceding for, Father, forgive me of my sin. And the Son says, forgive him, Father. I died for him. I shed my blood for him. Forgive him. Forgive him. He is mine. Back in John 14. Back in John chapter 14, Jesus saith unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Wasn't that something about that the Lord dealt with the religious elite of the day? That he being the Son come in the flesh, that they did not see by the miracle upon miracle upon the revelation of the power of God, that where we've seen where when he preached, the guards that were sent to come and get him of those of the Sanhedrin said, no man ever spake like this man. They couldn't take him. They could not lay their hands on him and take him. And he talked to them and he told them, he says, if you really knew my Father, you would comprehend who I am, but you really don't know the Father. And on one occasion, I believe in John chapter 8, he said, you're of your father, the devil. He's telling that to the religious elite of the day, the leadership, those that sat in Moses' seat. And if those that were not saved, at least at the time that the Lord was dealing with them and talking to them, they didn't understand who he really was. Well, his disciples, they had the same wrestling, did they, to really, really, really get it. You know, we've got that amongst the Lord's people today, don't we? Got that amongst the world, to really understand who Jesus is. You hear that? If God showed up here right now in body, we'd look to straighten up, wouldn't we? Yeah, some things that we say matter wouldn't matter if he showed up here in body. But he's amongst us in spirit. He's going to tell us that. And so Jesus showed up in body, but they didn't receive him that way. And the disciples, they had a hard time understanding it too. He said, if you had known me, verse 7, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. He's answering the question that Thomas asked, and all it does is produces another question from Philip. Listen, verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. He says, we want to be satisfied. We want to get it. Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied about it. What do you say in verse 7? If you had known me, if you'd really, really, really get who I am, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip says, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Jesus saith unto him, verse 9, have I been so long time with you? And yes, hath thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You know what? We as the Lord's children, the Lord has saved us. If the Lord has really saved your soul, from the time that he has done that, Jesus has been here with you. But I ask you, I challenge us all this morning, have we really seen him? Have we really seen him? His disciples had the same problem. Do you want to see him? Do you want to see him? Do you want to be close to him? The Lord says, I'm going to prepare a place, and I'm going to come back and get you so you can be right here near and close to me. Do we want to be near and close to him now? Do we want to walk close with him now? Do we want to constantly abide with him now? Abide in me. He goes on to teach in this series of chapters here between the hymn and Gethsemane. Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long a time with you, and yet you haven't seen it yet, Philip? Yet hast thou not known me? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? He said, Philip, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's me. Me. It's me in this body. The Son of God, the Son of Man, come down to be a Savior for you. He goes on here. Look over in Isaiah chapter 9. Some of the names of Jesus Christ. It was in the scripture then. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And listen to his names. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. His name shall be called The Mighty God. What else? The Everlasting Father. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's in Jesus. In Jesus alone, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth, even forever. He's it. There's no other one. There's no other way. Back in John chapter 14, he says, if you've seen me, Philip, if you've seen me, Thomas, you've seen the Father. Why are you saying, show us the Father? Because you have seen him in me. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Have you seen it in these 3 years that you've companied with me? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He's the one that's working through me. Jesus was no freelancer. He followed that which his Father had given him to do. What's that tell about me and you? We need to follow him, don't we? We need to follow close to him. We need to follow as close to Jesus, our Savior, sent by the Father for our sakes. We need to follow as close to him as he did to God. Amen? As close as he did to the Father. That's how close you and I need to follow the Lord. And that's what he's saying here. Believest thou not? Don't you believe it, Philip and Thomas? Don't you believe it, disciples of mine? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but you're hearing the Father speak through me. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believest thou not, he said in verse 10. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. All that I've done has been to show you that I'm of God. The world didn't get it. And his disciples, having walked with him in his body, they're having trouble getting it, aren't they? Don't we need the Lord? Don't we need the Lord to open our understanding? Don't we need the Lord to illuminate us? Don't we need to seek and beg the Lord to reveal unto us what he's saying to us in his word, that we might get it? And you know, if we do, he will. If we will seek his face, he will. He talks to him in John chapter 5, if you recall, about how it is that the judgment is not going to be performed by the Father, but it's going to be performed by him. Judgment is going to be given to Jesus Christ. In the time that he came, he says, I judge no man. Why? Because he came as Savior. But in that day when he comes back, the Father is given to him to be the judge, to be the one that men, women, boys, and girls will stand before, whether alive or whether dead. He will be the judge, given by the Father. He says, this is what the Father has ordained to be done. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. What you've seen, what you're seeing now, and what you're going to see, believe it. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What's that talking about? He says, what you're seeing worked in me and that I am working, I'm working it of the Father. He says, believe me for the sake of those things that you see. And you know what? When I'm gone, when I'm taken away from you physically, you're going to do those things and you're going to do greater. Who's he talking to? Olmsted Baptist Church. Olmsted Baptist Church. We have no need for healing that we do by laying on of the hands or some power in the pastor or the elders or those of the church. Those things have passed. But this work that Jesus ordained and started in his church, we continue to go on and do it. That is a testimony of Christ having come. That is a testimony of Christ coming back. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he said, this is very, very important. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. His body, his churches, will work in his stead physically, and he will work in us with a spiritual leadership. You hear that? But we need to believe him. We need to trust him. We need to follow him in it. looking forward to the time he'll take us to be on with him. Verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall do, shall ask in my name, that will I do. There's the power. There is the power to be able to do this thing, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He says, my church that I'm giving my life for, as I work in you and work through you, you ask the Father, and he'll give you what you need to perform the impossible. And I'll be glorified, and thereby the Father will be glorified in it. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do. I will do it. And so it's so important that we follow him, that we ask him, that we seek his face in all that we do. Listen here, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. He says, if you love me, keep what I say. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. I've been your comforter while I've been here with you. I've been the one that you've come to with your problems. I've been the one that you've come to with your issues. I've been the one that you've come to when you needed something done. And I'm going to send you another comforter. I've been your comforter. I've been your master. I've been your shepherd. But I'm going to send you a comforter. And listen what the Lord says about that. See, Thomas and Philip asked these questions. How do we know the way? We don't know where you're going. Jesus says, you do. You do know the way because I am the way. He says, we haven't seen the Father. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is it. This is where it's at. There's not anything beyond. There's not anything that's greater. There's not a, he says, this is it right here amongst us. You know, in and of our mind and our flesh, and the way the entertainment is and all the things that come at us in the world, because the thing about Jesus Christ, salvation, service in his church, spiritual leadership, because it's not like all the entertainment that comes across the television, the internet, or the world, or things that we go see, because it's not big and grand and spectacular in our eyes and in our ears and what our mind, our sensory, we can miss how the Lord speaks to us and the truth that he tells us. Because we only believe a thing that's spectacular. We only believe a thing that we marvel at, talking about in our flesh. But he says, it's in me. I'm the way. If you see me, you see in the Father. If you see me, you see your comforter. If you see me, you see your help. If you see me, you see your mission. If you see me, you will obey me. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, verse 16, that he may abide with you forever. Forever. He doesn't say that he'll send a memory or a thing or an it. He's going to send a person. More than a force and more than an influence, but God's Spirit in us, in his church, to serve him and follow him. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that you may abide, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. They don't get it. They can't receive him. They don't have the capacity. They don't have salvation. They don't have the Spirit of God and salvation dwelling within. The Comforter won't mean a lick to them. The Comforter, not to limit God, but the Comforter can't work in them. Jesus, did he work outside of his church or in his church? In his church, amongst his church, and about his church. He said, the world cannot receive the Spirit because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you now. Salvation, same Spirit. He dwelleth in you now, okay? The Spirit of God in salvation, and shall be in you. That's in the future. See, it's going to come down here in a time after the Lord is crucified, after he's buried, and after he raises from the dead, he's going to meet with his church, and he's going to say unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He's going to give them the Comforter. He's going to empower them there in that upper room. He's going to give them that work of the Spirit of the Comforter to empower them to go and do those greater things that he's commanded them to do the same things that he's done, and to go and do these greater things. Not a memory, not a thing, not an it, but a person, God living within, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, verse 17, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Wait a minute, he said he was leaving. He said he was leaving them. They wouldn't be able to see him anymore. He's saying he's leaving them, and because of that, he's sending this comforter unto them. Well, remember, he's God. He is God. It's the same. It is God. God comes to us as and represents himself as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit comes, we've got the Father and the Son. If the Son comes into us, we have the Father and the Spirit. You see what I'm saying? If the Father comes to us, we have the Son and the Spirit. You can't separate God. It's all or none with God. And he says here in the church, he said, I'm going to send this comforter to you. I will not leave you, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. He says, I'm going to send the comforter. You already know him. And he's going to come to you, and he's going to comfort you in my stead. So this additional work of the Spirit in the church, as we understand it. But look here what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 1. To whom God, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, the Spirit is Christ, and Christ is the Spirit. It's God who is all in all. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Godhead bodily that men could see and will see in that day. But the Lord says, I'm going to send this comforter, and I'm going to come to you because the Spirit's going to come to you. It says in other passages that the Spirit is only going to speak of Jesus, only going to speak of him. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live. And because I live, rather, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he says, if you love me in verse 15, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. That's the witness of it. If we say we love God, but we don't obey him. If we say we love the Lord, but we don't obey him, it's cheap talk. But if we do what he says, if we follow his commands, we prove that we love him. He that loveth me, and he that loveth me, verse 21, shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. That yields yet another question. Now Judas is listening on. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, because Judas Iscariot is gone, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How is that going to be? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Obedience. Obedience, love with legs on it, and service for the Lord. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. There's a contrast. And the word which ye hear is not mine. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. He ends up right here with the same thing that he said at the beginning. Let not your heart be troubled, verse 1. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've got me, you've got all of God there is to have. I'm going to send a comforter to you, church. I'm going to send a comforter to you that you already know because I've saved you and my spirit dwells in you. I live in you. And I'm going to send a comforter to be in my stead here amongst you in the church. And he's going to lead you in what you're to do. Judas says to him, how are you going to manifest yourself to us but not to the world? They're expecting him to reign as king. He says, the Spirit, the comforter that's going to come and be among you. He's going to remind you, verse 26. He's going to remind you what I said, what's in the Word. In verse 27, thereby you'll be able to have some peace. You'll be able to not be troubled. When the whole world seems like it's burning down and falling apart around you, when they look like they're going to come and get your life and kill you the way they killed me, you'll be able to be peaceful. Peace I leave with you, verse 27. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, and if you'll allow me to insert this, for anything, any fashion, or any way, but by me. Jesus is it. If you're here this morning without salvation, you don't have the salvation of your soul. You don't have the Spirit of God living within. You have not a clue what this is about the working of the Spirit in the Lord's church. You really don't even understand what church is about. To you, it maybe looks like a club, a fine place to get together, people to meet or to just enjoy some fellowship with. You don't see what it's all about. You need the door. You need Jesus Christ. Because none of the rest of it will make any sense until you're saved. We pray for you that the Lord will work amongst you and save you, that you'll see the truth that Jesus Christ is the way. He is the manifestation of God's truth. He is the only way to eternal life. You need to repent. You need to believe. You need to trust in Him. Not some system, not some way, not some philosophy, but trust in Jesus. If the Lord saved you, now you're equipped with Jesus living it within. For in the Lord's church, for you to experience that work of the Comforter, if you avail yourself to it. Don't come meet with the church. The Comforter has little to work with. Come meet together in the work of the church and the worship of the church and the service of the Lord in the church. You can experience that work of the Comforter amongst us. Worried about how things are going to be? Worried about losing your job? Concerned about your children that aren't saved? You won't have any peace about any of that unless you get up there close to the Lord where He commands us. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's a way that seems right to you and to me, even after salvation. But listen, there's no peace in it. There's no rest in it. There's just turmoil. Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.